I just want to say, first of all, that's exciting about the church today, getting started. That is awesome. I am so glad that we at Lighthouse Baptist Church get to support Brother Kevin and his family. Pastor O'Keefe, sorry. It's fine. It's great. Worthy of double honor. That's what the Bible says. So I appreciate that so much. Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I guess it was his idea all along to get a church started there. And so we're excited about that. We're glad that we can help out and just have a little part in that in prayer and things. And maybe we come down as well and give you a hand sometime like that. I'm looking forward to going home and telling them what the Lord did. So that's great. That is awesome. And so missions, that's what it's about. A lot of it's missions. And so it's great to be able to see the church get started today. Keep on knocking, brother. Keep on witnessing. Keep on telling. Keep on sharing. Keep on preaching. Keep on studying the Bible. Praise God. That is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to hear about a first day to go like that. So keep in prayer, Pastor Ledbetter. We love him. We thank God for him, all the work that he does. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed myself this morning. I hope it went all right for you. I really did. I have to trust the Lord that he would give me what I have to say as time goes on. And I'm just kind of sharing just a few things and let you know, we have a young man. I'm hoping that Declan will get a little jealous now with Pastor O'Keefe here, and he'll start saying, well, maybe I better step out. I am getting old, you know, he's probably about 32, 33 now. He's getting old, it's time to get serious about things. So pray for Declan. We're hoping one day he'll follow in Brother O'Keefe's footsteps, and he will begin pastoring the church where God would have him to go as well. It was a good morning. I'd like to say thank you to the Everleys as well. Thank you for your hospitality. Appreciate that so much. Thank you for an awesome dinner today. That was awesome. Now, you know how sometimes you say something bad and then you say something good? I'm kind of that way. All right? So I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell you something and then I'm going to fix it by saying something good just here. All right? We had a wonderful dinner today. That's something good. But here's the bad thing. I personally, as a person, I do not like stew at all. I am 46 years old and I do not like stew. But to the glory of God, what I'm about to say, I said to my wife and family, I said, that was the most awesome stew I have ever eaten in my life. And sister, I don't like stew. Michelle testified, do I like stew? Did I not say that was the best stew I ever had? I tell you what, that was awesome, sister. I'm almost converted to liking stew. I don't know. See how it all plays out in the end, though. But thank God for that. I appreciate it. It's always good to see the faithful people that are still here, still serving, still committed, still walking, still loving Jesus. Hey, he really is coming back. And we are really going to go home. And it is going to be time to lay down our blood-stained swords and shields to the glory of God at His feet and say, whew, it's good to be here. Yeah. That's what keeps us pressing on in these crazy, wild days. But God, I'm shocked. I was awed with the attendance this morning. I was awed with the spirit of the service this morning. It just gets gooder and gooder around here. Amen. I'm telling you. You people get better and better. God bless you. And I said it this morning, and I meant it, if I was living in Cork, this is where I would be going to church. This is Christ's church in this area. God's word is uplifted up. God's man is faithful with the book and the teachings of the word. And these are great things. This church is starting churches. These are all things that are precious to the King. These are things that excite Him. And that's what I want. I want to please Him. And so praise God for all the good things that we've seen today and this week. Keep praying for Pastor as he and Mrs. are away and Sarah as they return soon. So I would ask you to join with me and turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. We'll look at 1 John chapter 5 this morning, this evening. 1 John. 1 John. In the 5th chapter, I'll just begin my reading in verse number 1. As soon as we get to 1 John. Pray for me and my daughter Bridget. We'll be traveling to America for a month and a half this summer, at the end of the summer. And pray for my wife. We'll be away from each other and the rest of the kids. So pray for Bridget and I as we travel as well. I sure would appreciate that. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Amen. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if you love Jesus, he's the one that loves and begats, you'll love those that have been born again as well. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Don't let them take the Trinity out of your Bible. Right there. Father, Word, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Revelation, we can see that. He is called the Word of God and the Spirit. And these three are not in agreement, as the false witnesses tell you. These three are one. And praise God for that great strong verse on the Trinity. We serve a holy, holy, holy Trinity, a triune God. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. That's different. They are not one. They agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now let me talk to you for just a moment about that. They always tell me that my Bible is too hard to read. Those are all one syllable words. How much easier do you want eternal truth? Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Simple as that. One syllable words. You either have Jesus or you don't have Jesus. You either know him or you don't know him. And if you do know him, you got everything. Amen. Nothing else matters. Food, water, air, life, sustain, clothes. Nothing else matters. Only Jesus. If you have him, you got everything. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. So praise God for one syllable words. There, a young child can understand it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man, verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, I know I read a lot of verses. We're not going to preach on all these, but we are going to do some turning in just a minute. But let's ask God to bless this time. I want God to speak through me. I want God to use me. I want God to speak to you. Ask God to speak to your heart. Ask God to change your life just a little bit, all right? This may not be an absolutely miraculous, bombastic, mind-blowing sermon, but it may help somebody. So let's ask God to do that, all right? Let's pray together, please. Father in heaven, we love you, Lord Jesus. We know you know everything, you see everything, and I'm asking in spite of my flesh and in spite of who I am and what I am, that you'd use me anyway. And Lord, I pray for the Bible Baptist Church right here. I pray, God, that you speak to the hearts of these people. Lord, you said, let the words sink down into their ears and into their hearts. And I pray that the sermon and the Bible words and the Bible verses would sink down into their souls, Lord, in their hearts. And that you would change somebody, you would challenge somebody, you would correct somebody, you'd do something that I cannot do. And Lord, we love you, we love your word, we praise your name, we invite you to be the honored king and the honored guest in control of this room today. We plead the blood of Jesus over it again tonight. We ask you to keep carnal distractions and spiritual distractions away from this place. Help us to go away rejoicing. If the rapture doesn't happen, help us to go away rejoicing. It's been good to meet with Jesus. We ask you, bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. May God bless the reading of His Word also. The Bible says, and I spoke at men's meeting a little bit about this subject, but I'm not going all the way with it. The Bible says that the devil's job, he is the accuser of the brethren. Are you saved? Can you say amen? Then you are the brethren. He is the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says in Revelation, day and night. And day and night. He spends his time in the throne room of the king, pointing his finger at you and I down here below, nailing us to the wall and exposing us for the no good sinners that we are. He did it to Job. God said to the devil, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And the devil said, "Yea, skin for skin, a man will give it for his life." So in other words, God let him do what he wanted. And so that he accused Job of being unfaithful. He accused Job of being not loving God all the way, that he was not committed. You see, the job of the devil hasn't changed in 6,000 years. He's still doing that same thing. He's saying, God's saying, "Have you considered Marcus?" The devil said, "Yeah, but you know what he did. You know what he said. Have you considered Weston? He's blood-bought, he's on his way to heaven. But Lord, have you considered what I saw him do and you saw him do and nobody else saw him do?" The Bible says that's his job. The accuser of the brethren day and night. Day, he doesn't take a break. He doesn't take a rest. He doesn't get tired. He is focused on his mission, accusing the brethren in the courtroom of eternity day and night. And what he wants to do, if he had the cheek, if he had the nerve to go eyeball to eyeball with Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4 and say that little two-letter word, "If thou be the Son of God." He knew who created him. He knew who made him the glorious angel in heaven. The cherubim above God with all the glory, leading the praise and the worship, named Lucifer. He knew it was him that made him, but he looked him dead in the eye and he said, "If thou be the Son of God." He tried to get Jesus to doubt who he was. What nerve, what gall, man. And if he would do that to the creator of the universe in flesh carnate, what do you think he's going to do to us? Are you with me? Do you get what I'm saying? That's his job, his prosecutor, to expose and try to get us to believe that we're not who we are and try to get God to doubt who we are. That's his job. But you can be sure that that's what he's doing. So here's my proposition tonight. This is what I want to ask you tonight. Is there enough evidence, if you are in the eternal courtroom of heaven, is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? You go to church, but that's not enough. You may pass out tracts and leaflets, but that's not enough. You don't listen to rock music, you memorize scripture, you do this, I do that, but is that enough? Are you sure that you're a Christian today? And I just want to approach this thing with a few exhibits tonight, like it's a courtroom. From the Word of God, I just want to deal with this for just a little while. Is there enough tonight to prove you are who you say you are in the Lord Jesus? All right, let's take a look at what the Bible says, and let's look at chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." Exhibit A. Let me ask you this question. Exhibit A. Do you love God? Pastor Tim, if we're sitting in church on a Sunday night, we have forsaken sitting at home and watching television. We have chosen to gather as God's people. And you're asking us as a body of believers in court, do we love God? Yes. I'm asking you, do you love God? I'm not asking you, does Bible Baptist Church love God? I'm not asking you, does your family, the Pittman family, the O'Keefe family, the Everly family, whichever family you belong to, I'm asking you, not does your family collectively love God? I'm saying to you, brother, sister, do you love God? Mm. Do you get me? Yep. Do you as an individual love God? Kids, look up here just for a minute. Children, I need all the kids to look up here. If you're saved, kids, I'm not asking you, does daddy love Jesus? And I'm not asking you, does mommy love Jesus? Young people, I'm asking you, do you love Jesus? With a big giant question mark. Do you love God? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Exhibit A, do you love God? Love is spelled, this is a cute cliche to hang on a wall, and I think it's very accurate. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Love is spelled, not L-O-V, T-I-M-E. Do you spend time with God? That's how you show God you love God. Oh, God, you know I love you. Do you spend time with Him alone? Yeah, do you spend time with the Lord alone? You know, I know that a lot of us are very busy in activity, and I don't know too many preachers that are more busy than your preacher. Mm. He's one on-the-go kind of dude, man. I'm telling you, praise the Lord. I just get tired watching him. He's in his 50s now. Come on, man. Slow down. You're in your 50s, right? All right, with the God. Anyway, so the point I'm trying to express to you is, do you personally, I'm not asking you involved in Bible Club right now, or preaching, or soul winning, or working, but do you spend time alone with God in that sweet, intimate way? And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the J-O-Y, the joy that He and I, and not He and Michelle and I, not Michelle and the kids and I, but the joy we share all alone as we tarry. Tarry means we're staying put. Lord, I don't want to leave. I want to be alone with you. I love being alone with you. I love talking to you, Jesus. I love being alone with you. As we tarry there, none other. Not Brother Dan. Not Michelle, not Brother Tony, none other has ever known. It's that personal, mano y mano, one-to-one love affair of the heart between me and the King of Glory. Can't you just see? I love picking on newlyweds. We got a few in our church as well. Can't you just see old John saying, "Hey Ruth, I love you, see you next week." I love you, but I'll see you next week. What in the world? That's just cheap talk. Gina and Graham over here. Can you see? Can you see? Listen, Graham, it's great, but listen, I'm going out with Ruth and the girls, and I'll be back in a few days, and then I'm going out with my mom and my dad. We're going to have family time together. And she just ignores him for days and days and days. Good night. The only way that you can prove to yourself that you're a Christian is that you love God, and the only way you can prove to yourself that you love God is you spend time with God. We get so busy. And another person, I know your pastor's a busy person. My wife is of that same caliber and makeup. My wife is the busy woman. I mean, she's on the move, man. Go, 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 do, do, do. And she, I call her Martha sometimes because she's so very busy doing things. But even busy people like pastor and even busy people like my wife, and my wife does, by the way, so I'm not saying, I'm sure pastor does too. I've never challenged him on it. But do you spend time with God? Is there a real secret place and a secret time where it's just you and God, and you look to God and you say, God, I love you. I know you're real. I know you hear me. I want you to hear my words say, I love you. I love you. There's a young man I know. He's saved. He's in church. He's in a good church, etc. And I was teasing him. I said, you need to tell your wife I love you. Oh, I can't. I love you. And she's looking at him. You better say it, boy. And he's like, can't I just say it? That's not the way it should be with God. Amen? You should be very comfortable as a grown, successful man with a family, with a future family, a future home, being able to just say out to God with no one else, I love you. I love you. I do. This is how I challenge our people. If you were in this room, in this building, at 1 o'clock in the morning, and there was nobody else in the building, are you comfortable talking out loud to God and saying, God, it's me, Jerome, again. I just want you to know I love you, and I love being alone with you, and I love thinking about you, and You're the only reason I exist. The reason I breathe is to say I love you. The reason I can think is to express love and gratitude for who you are and what you are to me. I'm a speck of dust and nothing without you. Young people, pay attention. This is not for old people. This is for young people. Sometimes we get involved in activities, and sometimes we get involved in good Holy Ghost prayer meetings, and I know you folks have good prayer meetings and prayer time, and you have maybe even family time, but can you spend your time? Could you walk in this room alone and just say, God, I love you. God, I want to be near you. God, I want you to know that I love you. Exhibit A I submit to you this evening is, do you love God? Do you spend time with God? I'm trying to prosecute you to prove to you that you're not really who you say you are, a true believer. Exhibit A, do you love God? Is there a secret time, a secret place where you blurt out words? I'll drive down the car and I'll just start saying, God, I love you. Lord, I love you. And I'll be sitting at the red light. Lord, I sure do need you to preach at Bible Baptist Church. And I'll be in the car just saying, and I'll look over at the red light, and there's somebody at the red light sitting next to me, and they're looking at me like I'm really worried. And I just pick up the old phone and go, yeah, God, I love you. You know I love you, God, okay. You just got to cover your craziness, all right? Just make it look like you're not, all right? But hey, it's great to talk out loud. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but ask yourself, are you comfortable speaking out loud to the greatest communicator in the universe, the creator of the universe? Amen? Can I get an amen right there? It should be needed. Exhibit A is, do you love God? Do you spend time with God? Or, does it go like this? Sometimes in these Hollywood movies, you get these guys come in, they're special forces dudes, and they come in and they have these little tiny wiry camera things, and they come up, and they drop through the cracks in the wall, and then they kind of peek around. Let me ask you this. What would you do if one of those little tiny cameras were following you around all the time? Would there ever be a time where you would get caught speaking to God alone out loud? Are you following me? Now let's go turn with me real quickly. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Turn with me to verse 13. I want you to see the importance of you and I spending time talking to God out loud and reading our Bible and telling Him that we love Him. Look at verse 13. The Bible says this, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Every ant in every ant hill around the world, every slug, every small fish in the deepest part of the sea. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Everything is seen before God. Everything is naked and exposed. Everything is obvious to Him. And it will all be manifested one day according to what we read in the Scriptures. Let me read that part again to you, just real quick. Hebrews 4 and verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. See, the problem is we worry about what each other thinks instead of thinking what the Lord thinks. And we have got to focus on time with Him. Exhibit A, do you love Him? Are you spending time with Him? But Exhibit B is this. Not do you love God, ? Exhibit B. Do you love the brethren? Do you love God's people? The Bible says this, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalms 133:1. It is good for God's saved people to dwell together in unity. Now, I always size things up this way, especially when it comes to a church. I come in, there's tea. The more chatter and the more talk, the more help. So you guys get 4 stars out of 4. That was awesome. I'm telling you, that is a healthy sign. When people, remember the old days when you used to belong to religiosity everybody walks into? You see one guy you know from the pub, you look at him, it's like this, they go. And all the guys are standing back here like this, nobody talks to each other anymore. Hey, that's not healthy. There's no love in that, amen? You with me? You know what I'm talking about, right? There's no love in that. But what I heard today was a great thing. I saw men talking with men talking with women, children enjoying being together. Hey, God's not angry. God's not dead. God doesn't mind if we communicate together. Do you love the brethren? Amen?
Amen.
Now, you say, Pastor, you just told us that we're A-okay in that area. I think you're A-okay. But let me ask you this. I'm sure in a group this big, that maybe there are some people that have real strife and very real division with other members of the church. Let's go back to where we were, 1 John chapter 5. Let's stay there for a little while, all right? I got a ton of verses. I don't know if I'm going to get through them all. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we were there. Do you love the brethren? Do you love the people of God? Let's go to verse 1 again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That means you're saved. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also. Loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if Jesus loves me and has begotten me and given me salvation and the new birth, and God has given Martin salvation and the new birth, then because he's saved and I'm saved, I should love him in the Lord. Does that make sense? That's what exhibit B is. Do you love the brethren? When we love God, we will love the brethren. We will love the children of God. We will love the good, healthy fellowship. But the problem is, we fall in and out of love with God, in and out of love with Bible Baptist Church, in and out of love with God's people. But we're supposed to love the brethren. Now go with me to chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. The Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a, say the next word. Let me do that again. If a man say, I love God, and hateth, that's a spiritual Christian brother, hateth his brother, he is a?
Liar.
Woo. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? That's a great question. Exhibit B, I submit to you, do you love the people of God? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verses 14, let me pick it up there. 1 John chapter 3 verse 14, the Bible says this, we know that we have passed from death, spiritual death, unto life. Because why? We love the, say it. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we perceive the love of God, because he had laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Folks, I just want to ask you this. Do you love God? Number one, you spend time with God. Number two, I know that most of you do, but is there some person that you is saved and that's in church and you just hate them and you can't stand them? And folks, the only person that's hurting is you. Say, God, I love everybody, but this one person, this one thing, I'm not going to let go of because I hate them. But Christ died for them and gave himself for them and has saved them from the fires of hell. Now, you can't love every human being that's saved because you don't know every saved human being on the planet. You can't love them all. But you can love those in your local body, in your local New Testament church. Exhibit B, do you love the brethren? Examine yourselves, brethren. Oh, there's times the happiest days of my life are being with God's people. But here's a problem with some Christians. Some Christians, friend, are more comfortable with lost people and would rather are more at home with unsaved people than God's saved people. Examine yourselves. Here, let me give it to you this way. Now, I preach this at home and I kind of cut across the cloth sometimes. But I have told our folks, we have some Eastern European folks in our church. And I talked to them and I said, look, I know English isn't your first language. I said, but you know what? You ought to be more comfortable around the people at Lighthouse Baptist Church than you are unsaved people that are from your homeland. And we have some folks from Africa, origins are from Africa, and I say, listen, I appreciate culture. I appreciate diversity. I appreciate Pepe Soup. All right? I've eaten the catfish one. I prefer the chicken one. It's okay. But I like Pepe soup. But you know what? You should be more comfortable with the people in the local New Testament church than you are with unsaved people who are from the same village that you're from originally. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It's the truth. You're going to spend eternity with them anyway. Do you love God's people? This is where I got a little more. We've got folks over the years, we've had some people that got saved, and boy, do they not appreciate English. Do you have any English people tonight? No, anyone at all? Nobody. We keep moving, alright? And so, they just don't appreciate 800 years of occupation. There is a little tension there. There is a little tension, but I said to them, you know what? If he's your brother in the Lord Jesus, you need to love him and appreciate him and dwell with him and love him in Christ. And I'm telling you, people have to get over that stuff. You've got to get past that stuff. I always am controversial, and everywhere I go, I cause trouble. But I'm telling you, you've got to get on with it and love the brethren. You even got to get on with it and love the brethren that have done you wrong. And boy, that's not easy. I know it's quiet. Do you know what I know, though, when it gets real quiet? That doesn't mean people are sleeping or bored. That means God's speaking.
Amen.
I know. I used to say to Bernard, one of our men at our church, I used to say, Bernard, they're all getting quiet on you. What's wrong? Are they sleeping in the board? He'd say, Pastor, and a double and I say, Pastor, I'm telling you, it's just conviction. So I'm okay with it. Praise God. Do you love the brethren? Do you love the brethren? We need to be able to dwell with the brethren. And so number three, exhibit three is this. Not only do you love God and spend time with God, number two, not only do you love God's people, and you should, and this is a good group, this is a good bunch of people, praise God. I'm excited about this. I'm telling you, every time I come down here, it amazes me. This is amazing what God is doing. The work you do. Look, I'm convinced if you were not here, brother, this thing would just roll on. If they had to go back, say they had to go back for 2 months, I think you'd just carry on, man. Okay, there's a few carnal Sunday morning folks that maybe wouldn't show up now and again, you know? Hey, but wait, you're the good guys. You're the Sunday night Christians, amen? You're the good guys. You're the committed guys. And you know what? I believe you'd be here. I believe that because the church moves on. And God's church will move on because he's going to build it. And so number three is not only do you love the brethren, but some people are more comfortable, again, around lost people than they are with God's people. That's only two reasons. One, they're baby Christians and they haven't grown out of their culture. Or two, they're very backslidden, old, crusty Christians that are running from God. Adam, where are you? Well, I hid myself. Why? Well, I knew that I was thinking I'd cover myself with fig leaves. Hiding from God in a lost world. Do you follow my analogy there? Does that make sense? That's what the saved people that are running from God do. They hide in the lost word. They're more comfortable because there's no conviction. There's no salt. There's no light. There's none of this. So exhibit B is, do you love the brethren? I love being in church. I love being around God's people. But let me ask you this, number three, this evening. Do you love the Word of God? Do you love the Word of God? Let's look at another verse this evening. Let's go to Psalms 119, the middle chapter of the Bible. The Old Testament, Psalms 119. Do you love the Word of God? 119, and we'll look at verse 159, and I propose Exhibit C as the prosecutor. Do you love the Word of God? Psalms 119, verse 159 this evening. Look at what God says. Look what David wrote under the guise of the Holy Spirit. These words came from heaven. They did not come from the man who penned them. They came from the Holy Spirit. Consider how I love thy precepts. That's the Bible. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Consider. David is challenging God to consider his heart and say, look at how much I love the Bible. Basically, there's three things you got to love. Number one is you need to love the Lord thy God. Right. But number two, you ought to love the brethren. But number three, you have got to love
the Bible.
Amen.
You have got to love the Bible. I'm telling you, I want you to know that I love the King James Bible. Brother Dan said that I believe the King James Bible. When I took Light Up Baptist Church, I went a solid year. I let no one come in and preach. Nobody. I said, I'm going to take care of this thing. I'm going to baby it. I'm going to mother it. I'm going to watch over it and protect it. And you don't have to wait a year to invite me to come preach. Alright, and so I'm going to take care of it, baby, mother. And I said, but when I decided it's time to bring another voice in to be heard, first guy I call was Fred Redder. Why? Because he's my favorite preacher? Why? Because he's from Texas? Why didn't they bring an Irish guy? I mean, we do want to establish an Irish church, right? I'll tell you why. Because every other factor was superseded by one. He loves the Bible. He does not use it and say, well, this is a good version and there are other good versions. No, he says, this is God's Word.
That's right, man. That's right.
This book is holy. I love this book. He did not prefer it. He does not use it. He loves it.
Let's reread the verse again one more time. You'll get the love thing that I'm talking about right here. Psalms 119:159, it says, consider how I, L-O-V-E, love thy precepts. Precepts are the Bible.
Now, could you see if I went to my wife when we were dating and I wanted to marry her? And I walked up to her with my nerdy glasses on. Hello, Miss Hodge. I have calculated the pros and cons of all the other girls that I have on the campus. And I have come to the decision that you have outweighed with more pros than all the other cons. So I prefer you. Will you spend the rest of your life with me? Can you see her saying, oh, yeah, sure, that's great. I don't prefer her. You with me? I don't prefer the King James over the NIV, the ASV, the NEASV, the NAAV, the MIC, KEY, MOUSY, or any of the other silly books. I know that's God's Word. Now, I didn't always believe that. I've spent 18 years of my Christian life. I was as saved as I am right now. I didn't know that that was God's Word perfectively. Until I began to compare and look, and I came to the place where I said, I don't just prefer the King James. And then what if I went up to my wife before marriage and I said, I want you to know that nerdy guy that just talked to you, I don't prefer you. I am a Baptist love machine. And I just want to use you. How many of you dads have daughters in here? Raise your hand if you have a daughter. Raise your hand if you're a dad. How do you like some knucklehead to come up to you and say, I just want to use your daughter? Hey, we don't prefer the King James. We don't use the King James. We love the King James. It is the... You say, that's too extreme. No. You just need to fall in love with the God of heaven, the King of glory, the Son of creation, and you too will understand the love of the King James Bible. Now listen, 27 years ago, somebody preached from King James Bible. I believed it. I got saved out of the King James Bible. But that doesn't mean I understood that I loved it or it was perfect. I said, well, this is the best they got in English, so I guess it's good. But as I began to study, I got down on my knees, and I just said this. I said, God, I don't know everything, and I don't know Greek as well, and I don't know Hebrew at all. And God, I believe by faith, and I love this book, and I believe this is perfect, and there's nothing wrong with it, and the only mistakes in here are in mistakes in my head, and it's good. And I'm telling you, I've been saved for 18 years. But when I crossed that line, it changed my Christianity forever. I've been preaching already. And she told me, she said, when you became a Bible-believing Christian versus a prefer King James, use King James. She said, your preaching changed in a lot of ways. That wasn't always good, but she definitely said it changed because I began to love the exact words of God. Exhibit number, letter C, or number three. Do you love the Word of God? I'm not asking if pastor does. I'm not asking if church does. I'm asking you, not does your family altar. Do you find a time and a place to read the Word of God and say, God, I love this book.
Amen.
I love these words. I don't want to kiss the Pope's toe. I don't want to kiss the statue in Mexico until the feet are gone. I don't want to do those things.
But I don't mind kissing the Bible because it is the words of life. The eternal words of life.
And you say, Pastor, you're very unkind to certain denominations. Well, let me just say, I know there's a few that weren't here this morning, but I want to assure you that I was born and raised in the religious denomination I was just mocking in thanks. And they never told me about the Word of God. And they never told me about Jesus. And they never told me how to get saved. And so that was the upbringing that I had. But I love the Word of God. And I love people. And that's why God called me here. Is to win those that believe the way I believed. And so that they can go on for the glory of God. And love the book that I love. Love the people that I love like you people in this room. And to love God the way I am personally. Do you spend time alone reading the book? You say, well, Pastor, my kids are saved and they don't love. Keep making them read the book and they'll fall in love with it. Let me give you an illustration how that will happen. I use an illustration from a preacher some of you have heard of, some of you never heard of. Many years ago in Texas, there was another preacher, not Lester Olive. His name was Jack Hiles. He was very, very well known, pastored thousands, tens of thousands of people were saved under his ministry. He had a very large church. When he was a boy, they were very poor. And his mother would make him eat this stuff called okra. How many Europeans know what okra is? How many Asians know what? Okay. How many know? Does anyone know what okra is? Okay. Do any Irish folks know what okra is? Okay. Not too many folks. Okay. Okra is this green vegetable and it's very, very, very slimy. Green and slimy. Bad combination already. His mother would make him eat okra. And he's like, I want to eat okra. And she said, eat your okra, Jack. Eat your okra. And he'd eat it, and she'd make it next time. He'd eat it, and she'd make it. He'd say, I hate okra. And he'd eat it all his life, and he ate it all his life, and he ate it all his life. And he said, you know what happened over the years is my mother kept, Texas, they don't say this, my mama made me eat my okra. He said, you know what happened over the years as my mama made me eat the okra? He said, all of a sudden, okra wasn't so slimy, and I didn't have to swallow it whole and go, he said, all of a sudden, he said, if you put in front of me a big, thick, juicy steak and a slimy green bowl of okra, he said, I'd eat them both. He said, but I learned to love okra. What's the analogy? Parents?
Make
them read the Word of God.
That's right.
Make them read the Word of God. You want to play on the computer? Okay, but you're going to listen to Alexander Scoresby read the Bible on the computer while you play it. Every 30 minutes on the computer, you read 30 minutes of the Bible.
Yeah.
You're going to play a game, you've got to listen to some hard-nosed preacher preaching the Word of God to you while you're playing. Keep you clean, you know what I mean?
Amen.
Do you love the Word of God? Cultivate a love for the Word of God in the hearts of the children. It will come on. Exhibit A, this is how you know you're saved. You love God. You spend time. Exhibit B, do you love the brethren? Do you love the brethren? There's a diversity and division in your heart against them. Exhibit C, do you also spend, do you love the Bible? Do you love the Word of God? And the last one is Exhibit D. Does the Spirit agree with your spirit? Let's look at two more verses. I promise you I'm done. Two more verses. 1 John, let's go to the New Testament again. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Does the Holy Spirit agree with your spirit? 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave us his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. There should be a witness of the Holy Spirit within you. He should speak to you. He should be real to you. You should know that he is nudging and tapping you. Please God, Brother O'Keefe, please God that it was the Spirit of God that nudged you in the direction of hope. I'm sorry, forgive me. We pray for you often. What is the name of the town? Carrick, what?
Carrigaline.
Is it sweet Carrigaline? Never mind. I'm showing my old age again. All right. Alright, you know, hopefully the Spirit will witness that this is where you need to go and begin. Please God, you know, the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. And he will never contradict his word. That's another reason you need to be reading his word. Let's look at one more passage tonight about the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8.
Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says this. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse number 16. And God says, the Spirit, capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, small s, that's us, that we are the children of God. I don't think you need to feel your religion, but once in a while it's good to know that the Spirit tells me so on the inside. I hope you feel it once in a while. I hope you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit of God moving within you, burning within you, convicting you, speaking to you, challenging you, blessing you, and changing you. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. And you ever see someone, you walk and you know, you can just tell they're a Christian? How many of you have ever done it? Just looked at someone and said, they're a Christian. I have. And I've even gone, I have nerve. My wife gets embarrassed. I'll just go, hi. I know, this may sound like a funny question, but are you a Christian? They'll say, why, yes, I am. Why, yes, I am. How'd you know? I said, I don't know. It's just like the Lord bore witness with my spirit to yours and told me that you're a Christian. Sometimes you can see it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you really can see it. And you know they're truly saved, and they have the Holy Spirit of God within them. And we are a shining light. Does the Spirit bear witness? Exhibit number 4 or D. Does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit? Let me recap and I'm finished. Do you spend time alone with God? Can you say to Him with an audible voice alone, Lord, I love You, I need You, I can't live without You. You are my dearest friend. You are my great Creator. I need Your presence in my life. Do you love God? Number 2, do you love the brethren? I love being with these people. These people are the people I trust. I'm very local church minded. And I don't think you should get counsel from unsaved people before you get counsel from pastor and the spiritual leaders in this church, even if you're a grown man. Get counsel from God's men. Seek counsel. Seek advice from these people. Love spending time with these people, even if it's cross-culturally. Do you love the brethren? Do you love the Word of God? It just comes to my mind right now. I appreciate what a joy it was, the testimony the sister shared with me this morning. She said to me, I just got saved. She said to me in January 2011. She said, I just read through my whole Bible for the very first time.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a love for God's Word. That's a love for God's Word. I read through the Bible cover to cover.
Yeah.
I know people say 30 years, Wesson ain't never read through the book one time. That's not good. So let's make sure we read through the Bible cover to cover. Do you love the Word of God? Do you love the brethren? Do you love God? Does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit? So if you were standing in the eternal courtroom with God Almighty, would they find you guilty of being a Christian? Are you sure that you know that you know that you know the Lord? Do you love God? Do you love... Let's quit playing church. And let's love the God that saved us. Let's love the brethren that are among us. Let's love the book that rests before us. And the Spirit will truly, yea, bear witness with our spirit. I hope it was a help. Let's pray together. Father, thank You, Jesus, for the Bible. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for a home in heaven. Thank You we have this eternal time. And Lord, I pray that as we close now, that You are honored and blessed by all things that were said and done. At this time, I'll ask... Ask Brother Dan to come up and close as he sees fit.